Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Sangam na kuryat pramada sujato. Yogasya param paramam arukshuhu. Matsevaya pratilabdhatma labho. Vadantiya niraya dvaram asya. Sangam na kuryat pramada sujato. Yogasya param param arurukshuhu. Matsevaya pratilabdhatma labho. Vadantiya niraya dvaram asya. Sangam, association. Na, not. Kuryat, one should make. Pramadaso, with women. Jato, ever. Yogasya, of yoga. Param, culmination. Param, topmost. Arurukshuhu,
one who aspires to reach.
Matsevaya,
by rendering service unto me.
Pratilabdha,
obtained.
Atmalabha,
self-realization.
Vadanti,
they say.
Yaha,
which women?
Niraya,
to hell.
Dvaram,
the gateway.
Asya,
of the advancing devotee.
It's interesting. Lord Kapila Dev is speaking to his mother as follows. One who aspires to reach the culmination of yoga and has realized his self by rendering service unto me should never associate with an attractive woman, for such a woman is declared in the scriptures to be the gateway to hell for the advancing devotee. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The culmination of yoga is full Krishna consciousness. This is affirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. A person who is always thinking of Krishna in devotion is the topmost of all yogis. And in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also stated that when one becomes freed from material contamination by rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can at that time understand the science of God. Here, the word pratilabdhatma labha occurs. Atma means self, and labha means gain. Generally, conditioned souls have lost their atma or self, but those who are transcendentalists have realized the self. It is directed that such a self-realized soul who aspires to the topmost platform of yogic perfection should not associate with young women. In the modern age, however, there are so many rascals who recommend that while one has genitals, he should enjoy women as much as he likes, and at the same time, He can become a yogi. In no standard yoga system is the association of women accepted. It is clearly stated here that the association of women is the gateway to hellish life. The association of woman is very much restricted in the Vedic civilization. Out of the four social divisions, the brahmachari, vanaprastha, and the sannyasi, three orders are strictly prohibited from the association of women. Only the grihasthas or householders are given license to have an intimate relationship with a woman, and that relationship is also restricted for begetting nice children. If, however, one wants to stick to continued existence in the material world, he may indulge in female association unrestrictedly. The verse again, Sangam Nakuryat Pramadasu Jatu Yogasya Param Param Arurukshuhu Matsevaya Prati Labdhatma Labho Vadanti Ya Niryadvaram Asya. One who aspires to reach the culmination of yoga and has realized his self by rendering service unto me should never associate with an attractive woman, for such a woman is declared in the scriptures to be the gateway to hell for the advancing devotee. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshundu Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. Cut off time, 8:20. Prabhupada told the story that when he was married, he went to his father shortly after his marriage and complained. He wasn't attracted to his wife. And he had some alternative proposals. And Gaur Mohan told Abai, this is very good. The opposite, one who is attracted, just as we're hearing here, by the beautiful features of his wife, that's not so good. That you're not attracted to your wife, that's good. You can be detached in household life. Now, modern experts in this subject say just the opposite. It's one of the essential things that must be there in a marriage for the thing to work, is she's attracted to him and he's attracted to her, and there's a strong bond of physical attraction, which the argument is that helps keep the marriage together because they're attracted. But we know that the basis of physical attraction, yehi sam sparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate, in the mood of trying to enjoy bhoga, just like I'm sure in this temple there's the bhoga refrigerator, and then you don't mix that with prasadam, that which is not yet offered to Krishna, because Krishna is to be the enjoyer of those items. So, bhoga is the disposition of the materialistic person, and basically that's what this verse is warning against. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya prata chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhau na vidyate. In Kapila Deva's teaching, the process of meditation, because this is Satya Yuga, and that's the means of achieving perfection is through the process of meditation. And while one is engaged in the process of meditation, if the mind is attached to the contemplation of enjoyment, and worldly opulence, bhoga, aishvarya, prasaktanam, asakti, just as in our stages of spiritual advancement, asakti is way up there, it's just before the bhava stage, attachment to Krishna. The materialist is attached to the mood of enjoyment, trying to find happiness through sense objects. When that condition exists, the resolute determination to achieve the goal of spiritual life, it never happens. Just the anticipation of enjoyment, because the actual enjoyment never happens. Senses may contact the objects of the senses, but in that contact with the senses, it's not enjoyment, but dukkha. It's not sukha, but dukkha. Then that's the design of this world. It's a very clever design. It keeps the donkey-like persons chasing after the carrot endlessly. And those who are of such a disposition, they never learn their lesson. It's one of the fascinating things of the material energy is, although getting the message again and again and again and again, never getting it because of attachment to, it's just a matter of figuring out how to do it a smarter way or a different way or a combination of different things, and it's all going to come out nice. It's like Jarasandha. How many times does it take for Jarasandha to get the message? He massed huge armies. I multiplied it out one time. 23 Akshohini divisions, and each Akshohini division was something like 400,000 soldiers times 23. I mean, he had huge armies. And Krishna and Balaram alone defeated them. He was totally humiliated. Balaram, just Balaram with his club and Krishna with his arrows. And Balaram grabbed Jarasandha and Krishna said, no, let him go. Krishna was contemplating. I know his mentality. His mentality is he'll go back. It'll be in a get back. He won't get the message. He'll be in a get back mood. So he'll gather up more armies. Our acharyas describe this in the commentary. He'll gather up more armies. And I'll just be able to stay here in Mathura and I don't have to go anywhere. And I can fulfill my purpose of Pritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chuduskritam. Because he'll just keep bringing more duskritis, and I'll just finish them off and I'll just stay here in Mathura with my friends. The demoniac mentality has such determination that we should understand and imbibe in our determination to overcome such dullness of mentality. Yesham Tvantakatam Papam, Prabhupada is commenting in the verse, different verse, but the last verse of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the topmost system of yoga, because in the verse it's the one who achieves this culmination of yoga, yoga param. Param Arurukshuhu, the whole message of Srimad Bhagavatam is Paradharma, and here the Yoga Param, the topmost stage of yoga, we know Krishna indicates, Yoginam api sarvesha madgatena antaratmana, Shradhavan bhajate yomam. Very simple. Very simple to express. Shradhavan bhajate yomam. Same yukta uttama mataha. The topmost form of yoga is with the mind not going away from Krishna because the attractive features of the illusory energy for one who has a desire for enjoying apart from Krishna, the configuration of the material energy sets itself up in such a way that the mind is drawn away from Krishna. So the yogi's business, devotee's business, is to draw the mind always to Krishna. Always to Krishna. And that means, particularly in this arurukshuhu, this word indicates it's in the endeavoring stage. It's not at the culmination stage. It's the practicing stage, the sadhana stage. So someone who's on the path, serious to be on the path to achieve attachment to Krishna, where the mind doesn't go here and there. One should be very cautious about situating oneself in an intimate way with the objects of the senses. Now, having said that, one question that comes up from time to time is, since that's a fact, why is it that a great number of our acharyas became grihasthas? In other words, well, the obvious. They're on the platform of perfection. Why did they take up that grihasthasram? There's no compelling desire and urge from the senses to do such a thing. Such like Draupadi, for example. The description of Draupadi's beauty is, it just swooned the, when her Swayamvar was being arranged, so many suitors. So attractive. Just in her physical features. And yet all the Pandavas accepted her as their wife. And they're on the platform of spiritual perfection. For example, and so many other examples. The grihastha, there's the other side. In discussing this topic, just to be clear about it or balanced or fair about it or something, there's always two sides. There's the andhakupam side and there's the strong fortress side. So the andhakupam side, the blind, dark well, here the Nirya Dvaram, the gate to hell. It's not a pleasant picture. Stay away from it. Message is there in the scripture. Prabhupada said, distinctly remember hearing Prabhupada say this, one of the primary responsibilities of a spiritual master is to thoroughly instruct the disciple about the hopeless, futile notion that you can enjoy through material happiness. Completely delete that from your screen. It's one of the primary duties of the spiritual master. And how many times did Prabhupada speak on that simple point? Because it's the duty of the spiritual master. Because it's such a strong tendency. That's why we're here. Enjoy, independent from Krishna. The other side is also there within the scripture that one who takes up in the mood of service takes up anything, for that matter. Any service that go on Sankirtan and or do anything in Krishna consciousness, become a manage something for a while. You're dealing with the material energy. If that is taken up in the mood of service, then it's an opportunity to advance in spiritual life. So the fortress for a Krishna conscious grihastha of entering into family life, not in the mood of licensed enjoyment, but in the mood of humble service to Krishna together, then it's a fortress. It protects from the onslaught of the dictates that are roaring out there in the material energy. So specifically, the advice is given to avoid the sangam nukuryat pramadasu jatu, the association of expecting happiness through the intimacy of man-woman association. And Prabhupada has always turned these things, well, in many places, Prabhupada turns these statements from the male perspective around the other way when women read such things, keeping the intimate company of an attractive man. In the mood of being the enjoyer, enjoying from that intimate contact. It takes you away from attachment to Krishna. Fundamental. So, on the path of spiritual life, it's essential to clarify where are the dangers and the pitfalls. What's the road to Krishna, and look out for the sharp curve. As a spiritual guide to his mother, Lord Kapila is offering instructions. Obviously, they're universal instructions, and she's his mother. But there's instructions for any conditioned soul. The idea that material attraction is only for young people. Prabhupada often told the story that dispelled that misunderstanding. Very briefly, the story that Prabhupada would narrate is, one king asked his minister, how long does this sex attraction stay with the conditioned soul? And his minister said, right up to the moment of death. And the king said, no, how can that be? The woman gets old and the body is infirm. How is that? He was not satisfied with the answer of his minister. The minister said, I will prove it to you. So one day, without any explanation, the minister said, please come with me and bring your daughter. And because of that relationship, the king just trusted him and went with the minister. And they went to visit a dying man. And on his deathbed, he advised the king, just watch the man's eyes. And his eyes went to the attractive daughter of the king. So the king could understand, yes, it's true. Even on one's deathbed. As long as that spirit of trying to be the enjoyer of the material energy is there, then the objects of sense contact take one's attention. Material energy is simply making an arrangement for capturing the conditioned soul. In one sense, reciprocating with the desires of the living entity, but the other sense is capturing the conditioned soul. So, on this path to Krishna, one should be very vigilant in this regard. Now, one other reference that Prabhupada makes here in the purport, first canto, second chapter. He's indicating that when one is freed from material contamination by rendering devotional service, because that's one of the fruits of devotional service, one becomes freed from material contamination. That's the modes of passion and ignorance, the influence of those modes of nature naturally subside as goodness is promoted and the abhadras, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shlokti bhaktir bhavati naishtuki. Revocable devotional service awakens from within the heart as the process of practicing sadhana bhakti. It removes almost to nil the abhadras or undesired things. And as those undesired things are removed, the influences of ignorance and passion slacken. And in that condition, then understanding the nature of God becomes possible. That's what the paraphrase is here. He can at that time understand the science of God. Or pratilabdena atmalabho. Having lost the soul, again obtaining the soul. We have a process of devotional service that's very, very, very powerful. However, it's my experience that many persons can practice devotional service without necessarily pratilabdena atmalabho, without capturing the essence. In other words, mechanical performance of devotional service, even that brings enormous relief from the onslaught of the material energy. What this verse in specific is speaking about is those that actually got it. In other words, they've understood the purpose of this is to regain our constitutional spiritual position, to be in consciously in our relationship with Krishna in everything that we do, in all of our interactions and exchanges with one another, and all of our private moments and our chanting and our reading and worshiping and everything is it's opportunities to enter into and reestablish our relationship with Krishna, and their consciousness stays there. That's rare. This pratilabdena atmalabho. So it's a serious. Kapila Deva is addressing a serious person. And then Prabhupada concludes the purport basically saying, if you're not so serious, do what you like. Or on other occasions, Prabhupada would say, if you're not truly interested in attaining this stage, then you don't need a spiritual master. Just do what you like. But if you're very serious, then these instructions are very serious instructions. They should be taken and applied very seriously. Application of these kinds of understandings these kinds of like strong messages makes the difference between advancing. That's what the verse is saying. Makes a difference between advancing and just kind of not really advancing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked on one occasion, well, it was in Brajmandal Parikrama, actually. I remember one of the earliest Back to Godhead magazines, about the third one I got, was 1970 or something like that, was a little cartoon depiction of this story on Brajmandal Parikrama. Bhaktisiddhanta in the evening would meet with his disciples and would discuss spiritual topics, and one person asked the question, why is it that we sometimes see that two persons seemingly engaged equally with the same enthusiasm, the same types of activities, one seems to be advancing very quickly, another one just doesn't seem to be making much advancement. Why is that? We've seen such a thing. And Bhaktisiddhanta's answer was the wedding party story. He said, once upon a time, a young man was to get married, and the wedding was to be held the next morning, and he and the marriage party got on a boat. Please, Mr. Boatman, please take us downstream to such and such village, because in the morning a wonderful ceremony will take place. And yes, yes. And they all got on the boat, and they were very festive and happy, and took their places and took rest. And the boatman is rowing and rowing, and they woke up in the morning. Happy day! Marriage, is it going to take place? Let us go to the home of the bride. And they looked around, and they were in the same place. And they got very angry at the boatman. What have you done? You've spoiled everything. No, 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 I was rowing all night. How did you keep rowing all night? We're in the same place. So they searched and found that the anchor was still in. Although rowing, the anchor was still in. And so we may be making some endeavors, but if our attachments to, if our idea of happiness remains, bring the senses in contact with this set instead of that set of sense objects, and that's happiness, we're not going to advance in Krishna consciousness. Even the objects are nice objects and conducive to awakening Krishna consciousness. And certainly there's some purification that those objects are nice paintings and of Krishna, Leela, and so many things. There's certainly beneficial. But I would say in the top five on the hit parade of the Swami Circuit questions that I get is this one. Maybe it's closer to one. Maharaj, yes. I'm chanting, but I'm not, it's just mechanical, and I'm doing my service, but it's just mechanical, and I have no taste, and how come? What should I do? This is the answer. Continuing to contemplate on material happiness, expecting that chanting is going to, you know, give you the kingdom of God without God. That's not what the purpose of chanting and the process of Krishna consciousness is. It's to bring us in direct contact with Krishna. Just like the quote that Swavas read from Path to Perfection. Okay. It's direct communion with Krishna. The most important part of our day is chanting the holy name. Minimally are 16 rounds and any other form of chanting, but it's so, it's sacred. It's communion with Krishna. But if the mind is, and what to speak of the rest of our service throughout the day. The chanting gives us an opportunity yes, to directly connect with Krishna, at the same time, just detach ourselves from everything else. And then when we're doing those everything else's, they can be in the mood of do it for Krishna. Whatever objects our service take us into contact with. Now it's 8:20. I wanted to... There are three very, very wonderful devotees of Lord Chaitanya, Srinivasa Charan, Gadadhar Das, and Dhanajaya Pandit. This is their disappearance day, and there's not time to honor them properly because I didn't leave time. Srinivasacharya is such an ecstatic devotee. Just say a few expletives about what a rasika bhakta. His whole life, just even from childhood, and then each particular step that he followed was just, he got the association. One of the lessons of Srinivasacharya's life is through the sacred association of advanced devotees, he got so many blessings. But they were very happy to give their association because he was such an ecstatic devotee. And he would inquire from them in such a mood, just like he was heading for Vrindavan, and he visited, on the way to Vrindavan, he visited Navadvip, which is not on the way to Vrindavan. But he wanted to associate with the devotees to get their blessings to go to Vrindavan. And he came to the house of Vishnu Priya. And her servant informed Srinivasa, I'm sorry, she's in such a state of disturbance and separation from Mahaprabhu, there's no darshan. And he informed Lakshmi, Vishnu Priya, of Srinivasa's presence. She allowed him to come, and hearing who it was, and they spent days just talking about Lord Chaitanya. Because of his eagerness and simplicity and joyful mood to discuss about his worshipable Mahaprabhu, she invited him to spend time with her. And on and on. The details of his life are just wave after wave after wave of ecstatic description. And naturally, receiving initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, being under the training of Jiva Goswami, associating with Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda, what a school. What an ecstatic experience. And then being sent by Jiva Goswami in the first traveling Sankirtan party in Gaudiya Vaishnava history. What a traveling Sankirtan party. With the literatures of the Goswamis as their gifts to give people. And his writings, so deep, yet simple and ecstatic. His life is a very, very wonderful life to meditate upon. This is disappearance day. And Gadadhar Das, another amazing devotee. Some of the glories of Gadadhar Das. He was very, very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya from childhood. When the residents of Navadvip went to see Lord Chaitanya after his South India tour, and they were notified he's returned to Puri. When Lord Chaitanya sent Lord Nityananda back to Bengal and not to return with the devotees again, one of the associates that he sent as an assistant was Gadadhar Das. Now, the associates of Lord Nityananda, for the most part, are in the mood of cowherd boys and like wild cowherd boys, like amazing cowherd boys. Gadadhar Das, however, was according to Gaura Gunatesh Dipika, he's the incarnation of the luster of Srimati Radharani. And so his mood was Madhurya Ras. So as they were going back to Bengal, he did very strange things. Like he would put a pot of yogurt on his head and going around finding someone that wanted to buy the pot of yogurt from him as a gopi. Another, he so deeply entered into such moods. He was like a madman. And Lord Nityananda would just laugh. Another madman. One evening, being so inspired by the instruction of Lord Chaitanya to deliver the holy name, he went to the house of the Qazi and was banging on the door of the house of the Qazi. And the Qazi sent his guard, who is this crazy person banging on my door? So the guard went, and Ganadhar just burst into the palace and started rolling on the floor like a madman. And the Qazi came down himself and said, "Who are you? And I've come to plead with you to chant the holy name of Krishna." You know, in just this mad state. And the Qazi said, "Tomorrow I will chant the name of Krishna." And Ganadhar started dancing and dancing. "No, today you have just chanted Krishna's name. My mission on behalf of Mahaprabhu is now fulfilled. You've chanted the holy name. Continue chanting." Transcendental madman. Anyway, ecstatic devotees of Lord Chaitanya have appeared on this day. Dhananjaya Pandit, particularly, he's known for his kirtan in his home and being sent to Vrindavan, where he resided, and establishing worship of deities in a divine, transcendental mood of understanding directly the form of the deity, being not different than the Lord. And I've exceeded my time limit. And my voice is fading anyways. I'm going to be here for about another 18 hours. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you. Wonderful place. Thank you. Oh, great.